Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
I want to just encourage everyone, not just those in-house, but online. We're so glad that you tuned in. We're going to begin a new series tonight on evangelism and discipleship. Praise God. I'm excited. And I want to say this tonight in starting. It will both be very simple and practical as well as challenging. Because how many know that God never made anything really hard or difficult to understand? But that doesn't mean that it will be easy. In other words, it will require us, like always, a commitment or us being committed learners and doers of His Word if we want the blessing that His Word says that we can have. And so, in talking about, in beginning tonight of talking about evangelism and discipleship, I want to talk about both, but we're going to begin this series, and if you're taking notes, you can entitle it, Why Discipleship? With the question, why discipleship? And a few moments from now, if time permits, I'm going to give you about 10 different reasons why discipleship is so important. And why you and I must understand not only why discipleship is so important, what it is, and what that means in our lives. And so tonight, I want to begin in a little different way. As they put this slide up, I want to talk about beginning tonight. Many of you know this, but it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of the four legs of ministry here at CFC. Amen. There's four legs of ministry. We have them up on the screen: discipleship, evangelism, prayer, and healing. Praise God. And so why that's so important is this very reason. Because we believe that when we say disciple, these four legs, these are emphases that we put in on what we teach. In other words, all that we do here in the church is actually taken from these four topics. Amen. And so what that means is that is a focus or emphasis around these four things. Now, what that further means is this: we believe that concerning discipleship, that we're called as a church to make disciples and disciplers. That's what discipleship means there. So I want to make sure that you understand what we're talking about. Why we are putting an emphasis on discipleship is because we believe that we're to make every person a disciple. But it doesn't stop there. A discipler. Next, we believe that concerning evangelism, that we're called to make soul winners and fishers of men. Having to know that Jesus told those that He called His disciples, He said at the very beginning of them, "Follow me and I'll make you something." Having to know He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." Matter of fact, He told Peter, "You know, you've been catching fish all your life, but I'm about to help you catch men from here on out." And having to know that the Scripture makes it really clear, he that is wise wins souls. So Proverbs 11:30 tells us that. So concerning evangelism, we believe we're to make soul winners and fishers of men. How about prayer? We believe that we're to make people that know how to pray, know how to get results in prayer, in other words, answers to their prayer, and bear fruit in prayer, and then in return brings a supply back to this church in prayer. Because how many know that we're all responsible not just to pray for us? You know, we need to graduate You know, I'm not trying to be hard or critical or anything like that. But you know what? The day should be over with. Lord, bless me, my husband or my spouse, my two kids, us four and no more. How many know that? How many know that we should be far beyond that? So, you know what? There's a lot of things that people call prayer. But until we learn the Word of God and then pray the Word of God, we're really not praying effectively. So it is our desire to train each and every person to know how to pray effectively, get answers to the prayer or results in the prayer, bear fruit in prayer, because Jesus said that is exactly what prayer is supposed to do. And that's what pleases Him, that when we bear fruit in lives, one way we can do that is through prayer. According to John chapter 15, verse 16, you can write that down. And then, once again, bring a supply back in prayer. Because it's not all just about us. It's about, in other words, us as individuals, about how our prayer life can affect one another. And so, that's important. Then, last but not least, healing. We believe, the reason why this is important, because we believe that every believer should know their redemptive right of divine health and healing. And every week, unless something else is going on, there's a class there's a service that's just centered around healing. How many know we live in a fallen world and we have a real enemy called Satan? And there's things that happen in the earth that in our lives that at some point we're going to need to know how to receive healing for. And if we never know that God offers healing, or He's just as much of a healer as he is a Savior, then how many know that we will do without? But this is why we believe we're called to train people in their redemptive right of divine health and healing so that they can receive from God. This is why we focus on these four things. And the truth is, when you understand some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight in the next few nights, when we talk about evangelism, when we talk about prayer, when we talk about healing, every time, do you know what we're actually doing? And when we talk about subjects that are in the Bible that's going to help you, you know what we're doing? We're discipling you, because we're teaching you what God's Word says so you can follow His will and His way with your life. So all of those last three topics is really centered. We don't think that, but in the truth is, it is part of discipleship. Because whatever you're trained or instructed in the way of the Lord is discipleship. Whether that's evangelism, or whether that's prayer, whether that's healing, or whether that's marriage and family, whatever we're instructed of the way of the Lord, that has everything to do with discipleship, as you'll find out in a few moments. But all four of these things are tied to the vision of the church and its mission and our goal. Okay, so let's put that slide up and let's talk about that tonight. So we have a vision of this church. Most of you know we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. We should never get tired of hearing that, because that's our assignment. And it's not the pastor's assignment, it's all of our assignment. We exist to win and disciple people to Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 9:22, can we put that up? 1 Corinthians 9:22, and it says, Paul said, to the weak I became weak, that I may gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So really what becoming all things to all men means is that we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. Amen. So it's important that we understand that. Then we have a mission. Our mission is to reset the direction of people's lives by the Word of God. Now, whether you realize it or not, a lot of times people come to the church for all kind of other reasons. Matter of fact, most of us come from the get-go for maybe not the same reason that God would want us to come. He's glad that we're here, and I'm glad that you're here. But you know what? I don't care whether you came for the reason that you came looking for a spouse. You came because, you know, somebody invited you. I thank God for all of that. Or you're looking for somebody to pay your bill. You know what? That people come for all kind of reasons. I'm not worried about that. What I'm concerned about is every person I see, we have a mission that if we can get the Word of God into them, it will reset the direction of their life. In other words, we may be going in our own direction. We may be wanting all these other things and have all these other needs or have all the preconception. But I know this, if I can get you to Jesus Christ and get you to a living relationship with Him, you can get to anything and anywhere. You can get anywhere from that place, and you can get anything that you need that God gives from that place. So this is about resetting, and mission is about resetting the direction of people's lives, because everybody's not going in the direction that God wants for their life. We go in the direction most of the time before we have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. We are going in a direction that we perceive is right for us, or we want for us, or we're chasing some dream or something. I'm not saying it's wrong to have dreams and desires. I'm just saying this, that our job is reset the direction of your life by the Word of God, so that by teaching you the Word of God, you find out God's will and plan for your life. And if you're not going in that direction, you can change and go in that direction. J.B. Phillips' translation of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, I love it. It says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error, and here it is, for resetting the direction of a man's life, training him in good living. Verse 17, it says, the Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment. Comprehensive equipment means the complete. It's all encompassing. It's not something small. The comprehensive equipment of the man of God fit him fully for all branches of his work. And in other words, that God, whatever, when we find out what God's word says, whatever our life is lacking, the equipment, we might be a stripped down version, but I can tell you, you get fully loaded when you get the equipment that God, you learn about it and find out what God has given you. You may be operating, a lot of times people, even as believers, they just say, well, I ain't got what everybody else got. But you know what? There's a problem that most of us have. We can get a new vehicle, and I guarantee you, if you got a vehicle today that's brand new, that there's something on it probably. If anything other than a standard model, something probably on it, you don't know how to operate. Okay? And the truth is, you could drive that car till you run it in the ground and trade it in or take it to the junkyard, whatever you do to it, and you could say, well, I wish my car did this. It could be doing it. You just don't know how to operate it. And until you get into the owner's manual and find out how to do the things that special equipment offers beyond the standard, how many know it isn't that you don't have it, it's just that you don't know how to use it. Sometimes you don't even know. How many ever bought something and said, well, I didn't know that would do that, and you had it all this time? All of us will probably have that sometime or another. How many know that mirrors exactly what this scripture is saying? We can go even as believers in life. First of all, as a person, we could go be going in a total different direction, just like me. Hunting and fishing was my God. Nothing the matter with hunting and fishing, but it was totally my God. I was an idolater. I wasn't bowed down worshiping some man-made object, but I was worshiping. Listen, anything we put before God is an idol. And so I can tell you, I was an idolater. I know that may not go over big in today's society, but you know what? I know exactly who I was. I was in love with something other than Jesus Christ. And it wasn't that I didn't believe in God, but I didn't even know how to love God. How can you love a person you really don't know? You can know about a person, but that's different than really knowing them. So the truth is, I was going in my own direction, but when I heard the word of God and I came to the place that I understood that God is not trying to get something from me, He's trying to get something to me, and that His word showed me the plan of God for my life, and I could be fulfilled, I could be happy. What God offered was way better than anything that I ever could imagine, dream, or surely experiencing. And He wasn't trying to take something out of my life. He was trying to get something in my life. And it began with a relationship with Him. And His word showed me the direction that I was to go on. And it reset the direction of my life. How many does the same thing for you? Now, here's the other thing. What we fail to realize, a lot of times people, even as believers, when they get born again, they will say, you know what, I wish I had as much of Jesus as they had. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. And the truth is, most of the time, we got all those things. We just ain't read the manual and don't know that we have more than standard equipment. And this is why this word tells us, shows us the comprehensive equipment, and it fits us fully for every part of our life and our work. Whether you're a dentist, a tin bender, a meat cutter, a truck driver, or a preacher, whatever God's plan for our life, or whatever we're in or doing, God said His word and His spirit and His equipment will fully fit us and outfit us for anything we're called to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then we have a goal to train and to equip people into active and useful service for God. Matter of fact, Ephesians, we won't read this for time's sake, but Ephesians 4, it tells us in verse 11. Now, in verse 11 it says, Christ gave some prophets, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then verse 12 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Matter of fact, the word for the perfecting of the saints means the equipping of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. It is my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. It is my job to teach you how to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, how to read the Bible, how to meditate the Bible, how to get what those words on those pages into your heart and working out through your life. How to pray, how to win the lost. Come on, how to be the disciple or make disciples. It is my job. See, you thought that was only my job to do. But see, the Word of God tells us exactly opposite. This big thing about clergy and laity is it just makes everybody confused. It's really my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. So in other words, it is your job. In other words, to teach people how to depend upon God, trust God, receive from God themselves. Yes, we do need one another. And yes, we should have a pastor. We need believers that we can pray one another and that. But the truth is, at some point, we grow up so that we can receive from God ourselves and then help other people to receive. And we're not depending just on one or two people to do everything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So into active service for God. In other words, everyone is called to do something. Within the four walls and outside the four walls. Amen. See, you think I win people to Christ because I'm a pastor. I win people to Christ, I tell people all the time, because I'm a Christian, because I'm a believer, because I'm a disciple. Amen. Praise God. But the service that we do to God, there's something that, in other words, there's a part of maturity that we can get no other way than through service to God. And you know one reason why? Because God's going to put you with people that are different than you. You know, in cutting meat all those years I did, I can't tell you how many times. I wish I had a dollar for every time I had to sharpen my knives or hit it on the steel, before, I even finished cutting one chuck roast. You done had to hit it on the steel several times to resharpen that edge. So why am I saying that? Well, in other words, in our life, God wants us to be, active in what we, active in service to Him and useful in service to Him. And you know what? People, when we serve, we're going to find out this. One of the greatest growth measurements of maturity or helps us to maturity is actually when we start serving. Because it's going to require us to change. Because first of all, we're going to have to more than likely do it a way that we wouldn't do it in the natural, because there's already some. In other words, you don't go in, get hired in a store and just, I didn't go in and say, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, they train you to do what they want you to do. Isn't that right? That's how it's supposed to work. And so this is the same thing. And you know what? You're going to meet people that are lovely, just like you. And you're going to meet some people that are not lovely. Or that rubbed you wrong. Maybe you're the unlovely one and they're the, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, you knock off those rough edges so you can be sharp. God will put you with people to grow you up. Woo! Well, I don't think I want to grow up. I'm just going to go home and just, you big baby, you. You know I'm just messing. But listen, I'm just telling you, active and useful service to God. See, make no mistake about it. All of us are valuable to God. That never changes. All of us are valuable to God. That never changes. But we can actually, God wants us not just to be valuable. He wants us to be useful. How many know you could be very valuable to Him and still not useful? This is where the equipping, the training comes in. So that we are better equipped, prepared, and able to do the work of the ministry. Can I get an amen? So, let's talk about this, tonight's message, why discipleship. Turn with me to Matthew 28. All that was for free and an introduction. Amen. In Matthew 28, if you'll turn there with me tonight, we're going to see what is known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28 is also echoed and says it a little different way in Mark chapter 16. We want to look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice this is Jesus talking to us. Now, I want to draw our attention to verse 19. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. New King James Version says it like this, like many other translations says, make disciples. Everybody say, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. That means God, Jesus is telling His church, who are disciples He's talking to go into all the world to do what? To make disciples. That's what He said. To make disciples. Notice the King James Version says, teach all nations. Like I said, New King James Version says, most others, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Holy, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them. Everybody say, teaching them. To observe half of the things. All of the things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we can see here that discipleship has everything to do with teaching people. Teaching people how to fully obey God. Isn't that right? That's surely is right. Amen. Teaching them to obey Him. Now, this is what the Great Commission is. We can say a lot of things. And we could say more here, but the emphasis here, according to Jesus, is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, before a person ever becomes a disciple, they have to get saved. Isn't that right? But he emphasized making disciples. That's the point that I'm making. Now, so when we look at the Great Commission in Mark's version of 16, beginning with 15 through 20, we won't read it all, but it says, we can put it up, it says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel unto all creation. He that believes shall be saved, he that disbelieves shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So obviously, those that believe are disciples, because I can just tell you this right now. These signs only follow disciples. In my name they cast out devils. Come on. It goes on and says, they shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We understand this, that actually Matthew talks about the teaching side of making disciples. This in the Great Commission, and Mark is talking about preaching. You know, usually you preach to the lost, you teach to the believer. You don't preach to make disciples. You really preach to win the lost. You can make disciples preaching, but usually it's more of an encouragement, okay, or drawing to Christ. But we see even from the Scripture, generally speaking, preaching is an element that's used to win the lost, okay, to get people to Christ. Teaching is an element that is used to disciple believers. Amen. The point that I'm making is that in the Great Commission, the lost are saved and disciples are made. And Jesus put the emphasis on making disciples. If we go back to verse 19 of Matthew 28, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, I understand this. Before a person can be a disciple, they got to get saved. But Jesus emphasized, I get that. So obviously he's talking about winning the lost, but he's not just talking about winning the lost. He's actually talking about making every person that ever comes to him a real disciple. Can I get an amen? So what I want to do is answer this question, why discipleship. I'm going to give you about 10 reasons in 20 minutes of why discipleship. Are you ready? Why discipleship? Because the Great Commission, and when I say why discipleship, I mean why is discipleship so important? And why am I putting an emphasis on discipleship? Number one, Jesus put emphasis on discipleship. But why discipleship is because the Great Commission was Jesus' directive then and is still his directive for his church today. Disciples making disciples. That was his directive in the Great Commission. Disciples making disciples. Make no mistake about it. Next, why discipleship? Because discipleship is the number one thing God called his church to do. Jesus called his church and instructed us to make disciples, not just converts. Making disciples, not converts, is the goal. See, a person, he didn't say go and make converts. A convert is a person who has gotten saved. He said make disciples. It's the two different things. When a person first gets saved, they're not a disciple. They're a convert. They've gotten saved. They're on their way to heaven. Good, praise God. But he says you make them into a disciple. That's what he says. Hallelujah. So, I know I'm stretching your thinking, but really, it's very simple and it's very clear. Obviously, if the church would understand the significance, the importance, and difference between making disciples and not just converts, it will be far more effective. Because it usually takes us, listen, here's one reason why, because it usually takes a disciple to get someone saved. I realize a person that just got saved can get somebody else saved. But usually, I found, usually the people that get people saved are people that not just got converted. They may be excited, they may be all those things, but you know what? The people that usually get people saved are disciples. And certainly, a real disciple is what it takes to make another disciple. Because you'll never see just a convert make another disciple. No, you won't, because they don't know how to. They're learning to be that themselves. So you can't give what you ain't got. I'm not putting it down. I'm trying to get us our thinking right so that we understand why discipleship is so important. Why I said evangelism, why I said prayer, why I said healing, and anything else that would be taught would fall under a form of discipleship. Because it is helping people be the disciple or be instructed in the way of God so they can move from being just a convert, a person that's saved, to a person that's actually a disciple or a follower of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I haven't lost your habit tonight. Praise God. Why discipleship? Because we must realize that God didn't call any of us just to be converts. That means just to get saved. As important as vital as that is, I certainly is. I'm not downplaying that. You know I'm not, because I love to get people saved. I'm not downplaying this. I'm going to say it again, because we must realize that God didn't call any of us just to be converts to get saved. As important as vital that certainly is, He called us to actually be His disciple. So we're not called to be converts only. That means to get saved to get fire insurance. Now it's good. You know, you've heard me say it many times, and I'll keep saying it. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But baby, if we're not taught right, then we think the only thing that we got is fire insurance. And man, I'm on my way to heaven, and you get stuck there because you stop. You stop at being a convert, and then you're waiting. You're just waiting for heaven because you believe that everything is just on the other side. You know what I mean? The other side in heaven. Everything, all the good things, all the other things are on heaven. And you think, because you maybe the lack of teaching, you think that all that is that's all that is required of you. Being a convert is all that's required of you. But actually, Jesus requires and calls us to have the responsibility of being a disciple of Himself, and actually the responsibility to make other disciples, as you just heard. Go ye therefore and make disciples. See, I know this is stretching. I said it's very simple, but it's very challenging. Because we can always improve, no matter who we are. I can improve. You can improve. All of us can improve. We haven't arrived. We won't arrive until we get on the other side. In the moment we stop growing, you just as well say we've died. So this is why we continue to grow. And that's what discipleship does. Why discipleship? Because we must know the difference between a convert, being a convert, yes, being saved. That's wonderful. You know, I think that's wonderful. You know, that is something that is vital and important for every person. Their salvation. But why discipleship? Because we must know the difference between a convert, yes, they're saved, and a disciple. We must know the difference between a convert who's just saved and a disciple who is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And we must know the difference between salvation and discipleship, because they're not the same. Salvation is instantaneous. In other words, it's immediate. Upon believing with your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. If you really believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you've made Him the Lord of your life, you are saved. You've been born again. You're saved. I'm not downplaying that. That is important. That's wonderful. But salvation is instantaneous when you receive Jesus Christ. But discipleship, it doesn't end with salvation. Salvation is not the end all. It's the beginning of everything. Salvation is instantaneous, but discipleship is a process. It's an ongoing, lifelong one. This is why the local church is so important, because it's like a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate until you die. And how many know when you get to heaven, you're going to keep on learning? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So I don't mean, I know a lot of us would just say, I'm just glad to be in heaven. I will be too, just believe you me. But I'd rather be in 12th grade than Head Start when I get there. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things that we should have learned here, been equipped of here. That's what the local church is for. Hallelujah. And this is what discipleship is all about. Hallelujah. The discipleship experience is making real in our life what is true as to our standing in Christ. And means that we are to make actual and practice that which we in the Scriptures are already declared to be. That is, we live and act in accordance with our standing in Christ of who God says we are right now because we have been born again. Hallelujah. I know that was a mouthful. I might repeat it next week because I want to make sure that we get these other few parts in tonight. Why discipleship? Discipleship is teaching people how to know God intimately, walk with God, and win in life. I told our staff, I told our leadership team this year in meeting with them, I said, let's get good at teaching people how to win in life. You know what that's called? It's called discipleship. That's what it's called. How to win in life. Discipleship is teaching people how to know God intimately and walk with God and win in life. And you know you can't teach that if you ain't got that. That's why it's so important to become a disciple. So that in becoming that, it doesn't mean you always win. It means you can. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you always will. But you can. But once you learn to be a disciple and that what you know, have experienced, you can give that away. And that's why discipleship is so important. Why discipleship? Why Jesus emphasized it. Why discipleship? Discipleship grows us up, matures us in the ways of God. That's why it's so important. Discipleship helps believers reach a level of maturity so they can receive from themselves what God freely gives. You know, it's wonderful that we have a church that if something's going on in your life, we can pray for one another that we can be healed. That is right. That is scriptural. That is a blessing. I will never downplay that. But how many know, let's take it another step. Let's take it to the step where through discipleship, you've actually learned how to receive from God and keep what you receive on your own because you've learned something and you learn to apply it and keep it. And now you can take it to a step further. You can help somebody else get it. That's why discipleship is so important. Why discipleship? Discipleship causes us to continue in the Word of God, know the truth, and be set free because of it. Let me just tell you something. If you want freedom, discipleship is your pathway. I know people want all kind of stuff. They want, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. But discipleship is the pathway to freedom. Let me tell you what Jesus said about it. John chapter 8, look it with me, and verse 31 and 32. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue, everybody say continue. Continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Right here, Jesus told us who really disciples are. They're people that continue in His Word. Not just got saved, not just prayed a prayer, but actually continue in His Word. This is why we bust the doors open. Pastor Debbie and I busted the doors open of this church every time that it was open after we got saved. Because we had to learn to be a disciple. He said, if you continue in My Word, we say, well, Pastor Chris, I just don't know if I believe that. Do we believe Jesus? I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm talking about being a disciple. There's a difference between a convert and then being a disciple. Let's be disciples. I'm looking at a bunch of disciples in here tonight. I'm not calling you backslidden convert or just an average person. I'm teaching you how to be what God said to be, a disciple, so that we can be disciplers. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. So you're going to have to continue in My Word. Notice, and then he goes on to say, and you shall know the truth. It's only by continuing in the Word that you're going to know the truth. You know why? Because truth is the Word. Remember, truth is not something. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ and what He said. So truth is the Word of God. Thy Word, O God, is truth. John 17:17. You shall know the truth, and what shall make you free? The truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. I can tell you, discipleship, as you grow in all these topics, was designed to free you. And if you want to say, you show me a free person, I can show you a disciple person. Because that's how we get freedom. By being trained in the ways of God, so that we actually know what belongs to us and begin to live it out. That's how we get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you three for running back there. Amen. Because you're so excited tonight. Amen. I'm just being a little funny tonight. Praise the Lord. Discipleship grows and matures us until we're free in every area. And because there's many areas, you could be free about finances and be broken in your body. You could be free. But I can tell you one thing. If you want to be a disciple, the first place is going to have to change is a little piece of real estate that's about 6 inches between the two ears. It's called your mind. Because if you don't change your mind, you won't change what you believe, and you won't change this right here, your tongue. Tiny member, little member, produce great fire, James said. Words are powerful. Take them seriously, Jesus said. Words can be your salvation. Words will also be your damnation. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Discipleship grows and matures us until we're free. Woo! Glory to God. All right, I got two more. We're going to get it in. Why discipleship? Because discipleship will make you more effective in your life and also, check it out, also in your ministry to others. Not just in your life, but in your ministry to others. You say, ministry to others? I'm not a minister. Sure you are. You're a minister of reconciliation. Sure you are. You don't have to be called pastor. You're a believer. You're a disciple. A disciple, if you're a disciple, you do have a ministry. And discipleship is about helping you so you can help others. I'm going to say it again. Discipleship will make you more effective in your life and in your ministry to others. You know, people want quick fixes or something they think that will help them in their crisis. But discipleship is fundamental and foundational to our lives and the key to successful Christian life. You know what Pastor Debbie does in every one of the healing center messages? You know what she's really doing? She's discipling you. That's what she's doing. She's discipling you. Because we can come in and we want a quick fix. I need healing. I need a fix for this. I need some money. I need this and that. But really, we want these quick fixes. But there really ain't no quick fix. The answer is discipleship. Being taught what God's Word said about your situation so you can believe Him about it. And if you can believe Him about what He said about it, well, then you can get what you need. Well, I'm so worried about this world and everything. First thing Jesus said, Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't even worry about today. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. See, we got to learn that. My God, you may grow up with, like I did, with a family of worriers. I didn't say warriors. I said worriers. Hallelujah. My grandmama, thank God she's in heaven. But I can just tell you, she'd answer the phone. And they, you know, and she just thought that if you know, she was looking for people's sympathy. You know, a lot of people are looking for sympathy. She answered the phone, and she'd say this every time. I'd be a little boy, and I hear her say, and she'd be hollering at my granddaddy, and say, "Hush that mess up," she'd say. And the phone ring, and she'd walk over to the phone real quick, and she's old. And she'd pick up the phone, and as she picks up the phone, she goes from super fast speed to low, slow, just like this. And she says, "Hello?" And you could hear it on the line. "How you doing?" "I'm near about dead, thank you." True story. I didn't hear that once. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. How many know her mind won't renew? But that's why I say you grow up with world champion warriors and all that kind of stuff. You got to, until we become disciples and follow Christ's teaching, and if our thinking wrong, our life is wrong. Our believing is wrong and we go wrong. Oh, Lord God. This is why I say that discipleship is foundational to our lives and is key to a successful Christian life. Yes, we want healing. Oh, we want this. But you got to be taught what God's Word says so we can know how to receive it. Know what He gives and how to receive. That's called discipleship. I just want you to do it all for me. I just want to be all on God. No, guys, it's a Godward side and a manward side. God gives, and we need to know what He gives so we can receive it. Amen. That's how it works. Well, I don't like that, Pastor. We're tough. I'm not trying to be mean. Go without. You know, Jesus said, you're going to find out that Jesus says some pretty tough things. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But you know what? Jesus didn't try to be, Jesus wasn't unapologetic. There was things that He said purposely to weed out the crowd, to get the doubt out. And today we're afraid if we talk about things that discipleship should talk about, like, look, you know, so, well, it's all right. We can talk about getting people saved, but don't talk about hell, Pastor, so much, because that's just not my. I mean, and you know what? You may not want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because somebody may get offended about tongues. And whatever you do, stop talking so much about tithing. Because that's going to run somebody off. And whatever you do, don't talk about the moral issues of the day, because we got to be politically correct. In other words, you just told me you're unwilling to be a disciple, because Jesus didn't operate that way. He told them what He gave. He told us what to do and what not to do for the betterment of our lives, not to hurt us. All right, last but not least, why discipleship? Discipleship or making disciples is the way that God said we would effectively, listen, reach and change the world. If our emphasis was actually more on discipleship, we would actually evangelize better. Because in making disciples and making real disciples, you teach them how to evangelize. You just don't tell everybody to evangelize. You teach them how. And this is one of the reasons for this. I'm going to say it again. Making disciples is the way that God said we would effectively reach and change our world. Great Commission. Isn't that what He said? I just said it a different way. Discipleship or making disciples is the way God said we would effectively reach and change the world. Unfortunately, the church tries everything else. every gimmick, I'm just saying that does happen in the body of Christ. Oh, we think that our way is going to be better than God's way. But God said, if we would put the emphasis on making disciples, then those disciples will make disciples. In other words, they're going to get people saved. But if all we do is get, and it's nothing wrong with getting people saved. We're supposed to get people saved. But if we never teach them discipleship, and they think that that's all that their responsibility is to get saved, they'll hang. You know what? They'll never be free because they won't be taught the truth. If they think there's no other responsibility, they think they've arrived, this is all there is, they'll get bored with it. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to get bored with God. You're going to get challenged with God, but you'll never get bored with God. You'll never be bored a day of your life. The only way you feel bored is if you sit on one. Because if you're really living for God, you ain't going to be bored. You will be challenged. Come on, stand to your feet. I hope this has helped you tonight. Praise the Lord. It didn't hurt you. Glory be to God. And so why is this so important? Thank you for helping me tonight, Brother Ryan. Why is this so important? Because it's the gate. This is the way that God said we would effectively reach the world that He called us to reach. It's by making you and I real disciples, followers of Christ. So next week when we come together, we'll talk about a few of these things, but we're going to talk about what is a real disciple. Because we could assume that we are a real disciple. And we can be. I'm just trying to help us to move from where we're at to where God wants us to be. Or even if we are that, how many know we can be better at it? Because at some point we're going to go from making my life better to helping make somebody else's life better. And I'll just tell you, as your pastor, I am so thankful because we have just a wonderful ministry of helps. And all the people that have given their lives to help other people in service to God, to make a service like tonight or Sunday morning or Wednesday morning to serve people. So when people come, whoever they are, they can experience God, His Word, His presence, and get served with excellence so that they can actually hear and be taught, come to Christ, but become more than just saved or convert, actually be moved to a place of becoming a disciple, a follower of Christ, so that they can experience the truth and the freedom that God designed for their life, and then that be multiplied through their life to others. And I thank God for every person, all the people that are serving in this ministry, because as a disciple, that's part of it, so that we are making disciples. It takes us all, not just what I teach and what I preach. It takes us all coming together, all of us. You know what? You don't miss your little toe until you don't even think about your little toe until you stump it. But buddy, you stump it, you know. And so all of us are important, and all of us are growing. And God wants us to be disciples. Father, we thank You.